The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Second hour has arrived. We'll talk to Roman Harper coming up here in a few minutes about the spring ball. A lot of spring practice is opening or will be opening shortly. More of your calls here at 855-242-7285. Don't forget, we will get you ready for the tournament the remainder of the week, talking to many of the coaches who are already in Indianapolis. So let's get back to the calls. And Mike is in Kentucky. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Very well. Thank you.
I hope you're well.
I am.
That was a perfect segue with Jack Givens, because I need to tell you a little story about that 78 championship.
Sure.
I had $200 in my pocket, and I drove to St. Louis to the Checker Dome. And that was the culmination of a season that a lot of people thought was like, you know, being forced on them, and they didn't have no fun. That was quite the opposite. The team enjoyed playing together, and it was very instrumental in changing Kentucky basketball from then on out. But the interesting thing, and the story I have to tell, is Joe Hall pulled his starters with a 16-point lead. And then all of a sudden, Duke had made a run and got it within four, I believe. And so he was forced to put the starters back. Now, I don't know if he was thinking about the Florida State game earlier in the season when the starters weren't playing worth a darn, and he pulled them off in the beginning of the second half. But the interesting thing about that game was the trip up there, no ticket, got to go. It was in an ice hockey rink,
right,
which was the Checker Dome. And we played that final on Indiana's floor, because at that time, Indiana had the best basketball floor in the country. If you'll notice on the replay there, you'll see the NCAA logo. It's right over the big eye in the middle of the floor.
Right.
But anyway, since we're not in the tournament this year, I'm relying on you guys to keep me entertained with some of the old footage.
Well, Mike, I remember I had been to that. I'd been to a Final Four a couple of years earlier than that, at that same stadium, and it was not a good basketball arena. I don't know why the NCAA.
It was terrible.
They were there. So the one I was at, it was in 73. I don't know why they went back 5 years later, but
yeah,
apparently they did.
Yeah, and the other thing that I remember during that stretch was the 92-90 overtime game. When we beat Indiana, and of course, Bobby Knight went ballistic against the media because they showed footage of his wife crying. But anyway, just old history. I love to talk about it. And enjoy your show, and you take care.
Thank you very much for the call. And you're right about the importance of that game. And I thought, I realize everybody isn't here for the entire show, but we had Jack Givens on at the very end of the broadcast last night, and I thought he was just eloquent. That special aired right before we came on the air here, just about an hour ago, I should say. Let's get a lot of reaction to Connor O'Gara, as there always is. Pat, what'd you make out of that?
Connor, Paul. Is it just me? I wanted to reach through the television set and give him a Gibbs dope slap.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how many languages you speak, Pat. I speak a couple, but I do not speak Connor O'Gara-ese, because I'll be perfectly honest with you. I wasn't sure what he was talking about.
Well, I listened intently, and I appreciate the way you characterized me as one of your callers. I think you were spot on. But I listened intently, and I didn't disagree with a whole lot of things he had to say. The biggest issue is going to be the Clemson defense. But, I mean, you went after him like Perry Mason. I mean, you asked him a couple of questions, and the whole interview fell apart.
Well, here's why. I mean, I know Connor very well. I didn't mean to be disagreeable, but he was laying out this case for Georgia winning the national championship, and then I suddenly realized, what are you saying here? And then the rest of it was fairly easy to understand.
Well, Yes, and I'm just frustrated. I would like nothing better than for us to beat both Clemson and Alabama this year, and I agree with you. We can lose to Clemson and still beat Alabama, but you can't beat Alabama until you beat Alabama.
No, and of the two games, you better beat Alabama at the end of the year. That game is going to carry a lot more weight. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, back in I was a student at University of Alabama back in 1977 to 82, actually, and I went to an Alabama-Kentucky game. It was sold out, and we're in the stands, I think the cheerleader had said something at Alabama. You know, I think Notre Dame had upset UCLA this weekend, the Saturday before. He wanted us to get up. Alabama had just won the national championship. I think it was the Penn State game, 14-7. But we're standing in the crowd. The first time out, the people down in the end zone of Alabama's fans started applauding. We were already standing, and we wondered what in the heck was going on. And then we noticed the Kentucky cheerleaders were coming around the corner, and it had a sign, and it said, "Congratulations from one national champion to another, congratulations." And I mean, the Alabama crowd just went berserk. I mean, it was one of the classiest things I've ever heard of, and I just wanted to.
By the way,
I've never forgotten that.
I think I remember this, but during Kentucky's national championship season in 78, I believe Alabama beat them at Coleman Coliseum.
Well, they beat them that night.
Yeah.
That was the championship was the year before.
Yeah, no, they beat them about a month.
Alabama had really good teams back then.
Oh, there's no question. You're 100% correct about it. Alabama's team. In 76, I know Rick Pitino said today the 87 team that we were talking yesterday with Kevin Skarbinski about, and he alluded to that being one of the best ever. Pitino said today he thought the 76 team that Sam Newton coached was the best team he had seen, and I think he's right. That's Sam Newton team.
I covered that 87 team up in Louisville, and I remember getting on the elevator with Pitino and Billy Donovan. I've never seen so much pimples on a player in my life.
Yeah, you know, Mike, what was so interesting about that 87 team, I was in Birmingham at the time, and they were in they beat UAB in Birmingham, I think, on the first round of the tournament. And I'm like going, who is this Billy Donovan guy? I mean, it was and then the following a week later, I'm in Louisville watching him do the same thing to Alabama.
Yeah, during that game, I was sitting next to the New York Times reporter. I think he might be at the Birmingham News or AL.com. And he kept screaming about Alabama. Why didn't Alabama get out and guard him? And he was the very
where were you working at the time?
Montgomery Advertising.
Okay. But
that was a great team. They had two great point guards.
But if you remember, Mike, and I remember it because I spent a week on Selection Sunday. I spent the next 4 days writing the same article about UAB and Alabama were finally going to meet in Louisville because all they had to do was each win two games. And instead, UAB got knocked out first on their home court. And then Alabama fell victim a week later.
Yeah, but Georgetown against Providence, they went out and guarded them, and then Providence just pounded it inside and beat their brains out on the inside. You know, so
I won't say any more because I've already talked about it 20 years ago. But the game in Louisville, the Alabama game, there was a lot of whispering about that game because that Alabama team just played dead the whole game and. I'll save it. It's just too, it's too hyperbolic to go into it right now. But
was that the tournament when they found out Derek McKee might be trouble?
Yeah. McKee was I think the subject of that conversation. Well, Mike, it's great to hear. What are you up to these days?
Just sports editor to my hometown paper.
You know, I have to apologize, Mike. It took me a minute to realize who I'm talking to. I'm talking to one of my friends from back home, and I didn't even realize it. So, I miss talking to you, man. What's going? Have you lost
it's
my number?
It's hard to get in touch with you this day.
It's well, Stay. I'm going to put you on hold. I'd love to talk to you. I really would. And I apologize for. I don't know why I didn't recognize your voice. It's only been because you.
I could have said Tank, and you'd recognize it.
Yeah, no. Okay. If I am smart enough here to figure out how to put you on hold, I am. I want to talk to you, and I can't wait. So hold on a second,
All right.
Mike.
All right.
I think we're. Yeah, I must say that is fairly embarrassing when you're talking to somebody on the show, and it takes you three questions to realize this guy and I have been friends for 25 years, but that shows you what a great friend I am. We'll take a break. Roman Harper is joining us next. I do know him, and we will talk to him right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It is great to have you here, and a lot of conversation today about spring ball. It's opening everywhere. We're almost everywhere. Some places it's already underway, and we will continue to take a peek at that. Georgia's pro day tomorrow. We'll get into that as well. Roman Harper joining us right now. And Roman, thank you for the time. Hope you've been well since the end of the season. How are you?
I've been good, Paul. How are you guys doing? It's good hearing your voice.
Well, thank you. I want to start with Georgia because we've already had a guest on who is picking Georgia to knock off Alabama and win the SEC and at least contend for the college football playoff. We've had the Georgia hype train before. How legitimate is it this time, Roman?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, I think it is legitimate, but it's going to be for different reasons than what we're used to seeing, which is Georgia defensively kind of dominating teams and going out there. But now Alabama has shown the blueprint that you can go out there and win with a dominating offense and still having a defense that maybe not as what we're used to seeing as dominating, but being good enough situationally, having big stops and creating turnovers defensively. That would be the question mark for Georgia. Offensively, they're set. They got JT Daniels returning at quarterback, who we know put up monster numbers as the year kind of went on and progressed as he went on late in the season. And probably the best wide receiver core in all of the SEC and one of the top ones in the country, led by George Pickens and Kyaris Jackson, who returned. So I'm really looking forward to this Georgia team. The biggest question marks are going to be, can they replace all those guys in the secondary of that defense, knowing that they love to play all the man-to-man coverage that Georgia does? And also, can they get some added pressure up front defensively? So for me, all the questions come on the defensive side for Georgia, not all on the offensive side of the football.
Other than I'll save Alabama for last, but in the East, I'm curious. I mean, the assumption is Florida will be good, maybe not as good. But how do you look at the Gators? Because Mullen, we just heard from him, sounds really confident.
Yeah, it's going to come down. All right, who's going to be the quarterback? Is it going to be Emory Jones? Is it going to be Anthony Richardson? Dan Mullen's done a good job of recruiting. I wouldn't say great, but he's done a really solid job. And the transfer portals played a really big job, really big for Dan Mullen since he's been there. You know, with Trevon Grimes, you had Copeland last year. You also had Brenton Cox, who transferred in from Georgia. So, but they lost out on Eric Gilbert, who we all thought was going to really go to Florida and really kind of take that take the reins from what they lost with everything going on there offensively. So I don't know about Florida. I don't think they're the team that's going to be able to knock off Georgia. I think Florida lost too much offensively. You just don't be able to replace all the firepower that they did, which Kyle Trask and what all those guys were able to do last year. I'm looking for Missouri to continue to step it up. Connor Bazelak is a quarterback to watch in the SEC. He last year was a freshman. He really came on. He played well at times. And bringing in a guy like Steve Wilks as a defensive coordinator, they are a team who's looking to maybe take that next step. Maybe if it's not next year, it will be the year after that, where I think Missouri's a team on the rise in the East.
Roman, we talked about Georgia, Florida, and Missouri as the team that may be rising. A lot of new coaches in the East as well, mm-hmm. at Vandy, South Carolina, and Tennessee. Do any of them have a chance short term? I realize long term is a tough question, but to make themselves be heard this year.
Well, I think Tennessee has the best roster. When you just say, all right, who's the best roster? Who do we have the best players to come out and compete week in, week out in the SEC? I think you look no further than Tennessee. Now, how does Josh Heupel get these guys going? How do they all buy in? I think winning early gives teams a lot of confidence. Like, so if they can stack some wins in early, maybe a team that they're not supposed to beat, they get out there and they play well. All of a sudden, now you got guys buying in to what Josh Heupel's selling at that program. That is how you end up getting more wins than what you're supposed to have. And I think a team like Tennessee could be that team. Now, I know nobody wants to hear about that, and we're all sick and tired of hearing about Tennessee's back and this, that, and other. But for your question, Paul, Tennessee's my pick.
Optimism in Rocky Top. Never heard that one before. Roman, let's let's talk about everyone but Alabama here in the West. Who's the most serious contender to knock Alabama off?
I've got to go with Arkansas or Ole Miss. Ole Miss purely because Matt Corral's coming back, who's going to be able to throw 6-7 touchdowns versus anybody. He might throw you 4 picks too. But the guys must watch TV, along with Lane Kiffin calling plays. Ole Miss is always going to be a scary team. It's just all about, can they get defensive stops? Are they going to be able to improve on that side of the football? I don't have any questions about offensively. But defensively, Ole Miss has to be better. Arkansas is another team who we saw them make leaps and bounds last year. Can KJ Jefferson be that quarterback that they want them to be? They returned the best defensive back, I think, in the SEC outside of Derek Stingley and Jalen Catalan, the safety. I really, really like him as a player. And also they got a lot of weapons at the wide receiver with Treylon Burks and Mike Woods. So they got some guys out there that can make plays for Arkansas. And they returned some seniors that could have went to the NFL but decided to use that eligibility, that whatever that thing was through COVID, that they could come back for an unmarked year for a senior year. So I'm really looking for Bumper Pool and those guys to really try and rally around what they built on last year and take it to the next level. So a team like Arkansas, for me, is a team that can be on the rise. I don't know if anybody's ready to knock off Alabama, but Alabama's just an injury away from being an average team. We've all seen it happen, and those things do happen in football.
What concerns you the most about Alabama this coming season?
It's got to be the offensive line. And I mean specifically the left tackle. And year in, year out, we see every 3 to 4 years a new offensive lineman come in and kind of solidify that offensive line for Alabama on the left side, whether it's Willis, the Jesuit Willis that came in and played right tackle, or, you know, a couple other guys before that, all the speak my names. But, you know, every now and then that's going to be the biggest thing that they have to replace. That, all the receivers that they lost last year. But it's just weird because I say that knowing that Nick Saban just got one of his best recruiting classes to ever come out, and they're all loaded with 4- and 5-star receivers to go along with this great quarterback, and, you know, that everybody keeps talking about over and over and over, and Bryce Young. So I say one thing that's the issue, but is it ever really an issue? And in Nick Saban, everybody trusts at Alabama that as long as they got Nick Saban, they got a chance. I don't care who they're putting out there.
Roman, let's get to the two that most consider to be the likely contenders in the West, and against Alabama, and that's LSU and Texas A&M. Which one makes the move?
It's got to be Texas A&M. They're knocking on the door. They made really big strides last year, and they saw it because the offensive line. Their offensive line returns most of their big-time players. and they were able to move people off the ball. They won football games not because of Kellen Mond's arm at times, but it's because of the run game. And they are physical up front, and that is how you can really slow down games and win it at your pace. I think Texas A&M has continued to be a team on the rise. They will return some players. I think they just need a couple more weapons on the outside to really kind of take that offense to the next level. So now we're not dependent on just the run game to open up the pass game. But every now and then we can just step back and drop back and be able to throw it and go make a completion for you. You look at a team like LSU, though, Paul, and I just feel like they got a lot of holes. And I got more question marks than what I do about answers when it comes to LSU. I know Miles Brennan returns at quarterback. That would be great. But as Max Johnson made some really good plays for them last year, I like Eli Ricks at cornerback. I love Derek Stingley. I love Butte at wide receiver. But outside of that, you got a lot of young freshmen that are going to have to play for you next year. And I don't like it when freshmen are forced to play and not playing because of their pure skill and talent and that they've earned it the right way. So that, for me, can be a problem when you're trying to win consistently in the SEC.
One school left. I bet you can't guess which one it is. Auburn. What about first year under Brian Harsin?
I'm all about just giving Bo Nix has to make that next step for me to where he's not just running out of the pocket. He's not just scrambling away for some things. He's Seth Williams returned, so he gets his big boy weapon on the outside back and give the ball to Tank. Tank has to get the ball. He has to be the bell cow week in and week out. And if he can stay healthy, which he didn't do at the end of last year, I think a season in the weight room, continue to understand what the college football game and the toll it takes on your body. I think they will have to continue to build around those two guys on the offensive side of the football. And as much as I'm defensive guy as I am, Paul, it's all about the offense now in the SEC. You got to be able to score points in college football today, or you're not going to be able to win. Nobody's winning games 17-10 anymore in college football. It's just not built that way. So offensively, you got to figure it out. And it all starts and ends with Bo Nix and Tank Bigsby in that backfield.
Fantastic conversation. Roman, thank you. Be well. Hope to see you soon.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it, man.
You got it. Roman Harper joining us. Quick look ahead to the spring and the upcoming season. We're doing a lot of that today. More of your phone calls, 855-242-7285. Some women's basketball. Look ahead to the tournament coming up here with Maria Taylor. More of your phone calls as well.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This is from Nick Suss talking about the Ole Miss women's coach experiencing mild symptoms of COVID. Her spirits seem high, though she did drop this note. I did feel a little better when I saw Gino had it. I said, well, two of the all-time greats getting it at the same time. And we are back here and taking your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And let's check in with Rob, who is in New York. Hey, Rob, thanks. Good afternoon.
Paulie the Mouth. How you doing, pal?
Doing great. Thank you.
Last time I saw you, we were on the Brooklyn Bridge taking care of that problem.
Yeah. Please keep that between us.
Well, you know, now it's out there. Hey, you know, I'll take the bait. I'll do the Georgia hype. I'm all in. I love that we're starting with Clemson first game. You know, that's a classic rivalry of what they're 70 miles apart.
They're pretty close.
Georgia leads the series quite convincingly. They won the last time they played. They won 55-0 in 1920. I'm 55, so I'll go with all that. But wouldn't it be great if they rematch? By the way, I don't think that Georgia will have to exercise the Saban demon in the SEC championship game. I think it may be a game against A&M and Jimbo. And wouldn't it be great if we met again Clemson in the final game to win it all? And it's super hard to beat a big team two times in a row, so that's a big one. But, you know, I think our D-line is solid. I think our linebackers are solid. The offense is solid. I'll take the hype. What do you think about JT Daniels? You think he's – what about that hype on the Heisman?
Well, Rob, he's got a couple of marquee games that he's going to have to navigate. I'm not about to commit to a Heisman right now.
Well, no, I know that. I mean, no one's committing to anything right now. It's all speculation.
Well, yeah, but what I mean by that is it speaks for itself. I mean, if he's if Georgia's contending for the national championship and they've beaten somebody important like Clemson or Alabama, then yeah, he'll be in the Heisman race. If they lose both those games, he won't be. I think it's you're so dependent, as we saw last year with Alabama, you know, having three of the top five, on where you are at the time people vote. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Will, who is in North Carolina. Hey, Will, thank you. And I cannot find my cursor here, but Will, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, man, I was hoping you would keep me on hold until Maria Taylor come on. How are you doing today, Paul?
Will, we're doing great. Thank you.
I called Friday, but I had trouble getting through. I was really nervous about my ACC tournament with all the cancellations. But anyway, since y'all was covering the tournament last week and news come out of the Scott Frost trying to duck the OU program last week, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, that is true, and they got caught on it. I don't think it's going to happen now, but, you know, it's hard to embarrass the Nebraska program any more than it embarrasses itself, but it looks like this will take it to a different level.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Yeah, and one last thing, too. I want to make sure and shout out Appalachian State basketball, too. It's been 20 years since we've had a relevant basketball team, and by any means, I'm not saying we're the world state's greatest, but 20 years, we made the tournament this year, so I'll at least have someone to watch. Thank you.
Thank you. James is up next in Mississippi. Hello, James. Thank you. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Mr. Paul?
We're doing well.
Yes, sir. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. Sir, the way sports is now and how popular it is in every aspect of it. But, sir, I got a problem. To be honest with you, I got a problem with refereeing right now. And I'm not trying to pick out anybody, but I just got a problem with referees. I see some of the things that happens. And if it's controversial or something like that, the commentators, they just go over it. They just walk over it. To put me in mind of several of them, one of them was when Green Bay played Tampa Bay, I saw some of the most unjust calls on this quarterback for Green Bay. I saw some calls that was made for Brady and for the defense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But when it came to Green Bay and the quarterback, those referees just looked over some of those calls. You could see the frustration in a lot of them. And I was wondering one time, and also with New Orleans when they played them, why is it that I'm not doubting all the championship that he got with the Patriots or anything, but, man, when you look at him and he play, he gets all the calls. I'm talking about Brady, and some of the referees, they don't even see the call. They're looking for someone else that didn't even see it, and they call plays. So, sir, I wanted to ask you this. I feel like in the last the third quarter and the fourth quarter, in the last 2 or 3 minutes of a game, if there's a call, and it's the game is on the line, you know that, right? That's what happened with Kansas City. All through the games, they made calls for Tampa Bay over and over and over again. But I'm just saying, I feel like in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, 5 or 3 minutes are left in the game, that they should have a rule where they have a chance to challenge those calls or non-calls, because it's making the game like in the control of the referees, and they're not held accountable. You look in every aspect of game last night in Brooklyn when they was playing, the guy that jumped up and hit the ball, and the man said that he traveled, and there was no talk about it. And I'm just saying, it's time for you all to start calling out these referees, even the ones that's up in the booth, and a lot of these commentators, because they pass over. I know it's a lot of money involved in it, sir, but you know what? You're making the game uneven for most of the regular people, especially like I said, New Orleans and Green Bay. I was like stunned that then you know what the commentators say? Oh, looked like we missed one, but it was the last few minutes of a game, and they was going down and they got a first down and they called it back, and then you turn around and call another play on Green Bay Green Bay, and the man said, but looked like they made a bad call, because he said he gonna let everything go. But when it came in that particular game, and it was Green Bay turn, they just ignored it. Can you give me any kind of
let me jump in, James.
I'm gonna hang up.
Yeah, thank you for the call. I really don't even know where to start there. I'm a big believer that the officials are honest. I know you're not. They are monitored. The booth is not only watching them. They are reviewed on every single call they make in any professional or college sport. But I appreciate your call. Thank you. Let's check out Michael, who is up next. Hey, Michael.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I tell you, I was just tickled to death there to hear one of my friends from Georgia call in a minute ago. I love their optimism. I really do. I'm going to have to warn them, though. Sometime, I think, here in the near future, they're going to have to Kirby's going to have to show them the money, or in this case, the trophy, because sooner or later, the recruiting is going to start dwindling. I think he had his best shot there in 2018, and I think that if they really look at things honestly, that 2018 team is the best that they've fielded yet, and it's been slipping since then, and it's going to continue to slip unless they pull off a miracle there and win the big one. I think that it's funny to me how optimistic these guys can be. You know, Clemson's got a pretty good quarterback they're going to be facing in that first game too. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. We're taking a break. We still have a lot to do. We'll talk a little bit about the new future of roster management in about 45 minutes. Auburn open spring drills. We'll get into that in our final hour. And your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back here on a Tuesday afternoon, and Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you?
We are doing fantastic.
Are you wet?
Yes. It seems like it's raining all over the world.
It has to always do. First off, If I could pick out a guest, who do you think I would pick out?
Well, other than Danny Ford?
No, I don't want Danny. I mean, I want you.
Let's see. Peyton Manning, Dabo Sweeney.
No, not Dabo. I want Peyton.
Okay. Well,
I want Peyton, and I want you to let me have the whole hour.
Okay, what's the first question you'd ask Peyton Manning?
Can I come stay with him for a week?
No, that's not a good question for an interview, Mitch.
It is, because I have a week's worth of questions I want to ask him.
Well, okay, let's say the answer is yes. I'm going to be Peyton Manning for a second. We're going to test your interviewing skills here.
Okay.
Okay, so the answer to that is yes. So, Mitch, now that I've agreed to let you come to my house, what are the first five questions you're going to ask me? Number one.
Number one, I would want to know, what do you think is your strongest attribute pertaining to football?
It's my ability. It's my ability to mastermind the game by studying more than any single person in the history of the game.
See, that's what I know the entire public would say. I'm wondering if that's what he would say.
I think it would. I mean, I've interviewed him. I've interviewed his college coach. So I think his attention to detail is what separates him.
Number two, what helped him decide to go to Tennessee instead of following in his family's footsteps?
Well, if you know anything about Peyton, which you obviously do, he's a little bit of an outlier from a personality standpoint. He did not want to go there because it had already been done.
Well, can't blame him.
And by the way, Mitch, what bright young man in America would not want to play football at the University of Tennessee?
Right now, just about any of them.
I guess I walked into that one. Anyway, okay, well, I'll see what I can do.
I got to ask you a question. That's the reason why I called. The ACC yesterday decided that they were going to do away with the rule of the 1 year wait if you transfer.
Right.
Do you think the SEC is getting ready to do that?
I've seen no evidence of that.
Well, no harm in me asking.
Not at all.
But anyway, I just wanted to bug you about Peyton. That would be wonderful.
Well, Mitch, we are going to see if we can arrange that before they take me to the talk show in the sky.
We're never letting you go. You're down here forever.
Okay, I appreciate the vote of confidence. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it. Eddie is up next in Florida. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
What's up, Eddie?
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I love the interview you did, Paul. I like how you did not let him off the hook. You made him commit to something, and that was great. Even though I don't agree with, you know, I'm a big Bama fan, so you know, I look at Georgia.
Yeah, Eddie, I don't mind anybody giving an opinion, but I mean, he's a sports writer. It's not like he's a Supreme Court justice. You know, what do you think? Give it to me, man.
Hey, that's what I wanted to hear, Paul. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I got tired of all the tap dancing he was doing. But I don't see it, Paul. I just don't see Georgia winning it this year. I see at least three teams ahead of them, you know, I see four teams actually ahead of them. And here's my thing. I know Georgia screwed up the quarterback thing last year, and they put JT Daniel on this pedestal. But, you know, it's like last year when we talked, and I called you when they were talking about how great their defense was. And when I called you, I just asked one question. I said, who have they played with an offense? That's all I asked. All right? And it's the same thing with JT Daniel. All right? He started like four games, and I asked the same question. All right? If this guy is the golden boy, who did he compete with when he came onto the field?
Eddie, I hate to run. We are literally crashing into the top of the hour, but we'll finish that conversation later. Thank you very much. Two more hours to go.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.